Welcome back to TechNet Radio. IT pro guru Dan Stoltz and Microsoft MVP Rob McShinsky are back for part two of their Hyper-V Live series. And in today's episode, they demo for us live storage migration, multiple live migrations, and how to rapidly move multiple VMs at one time without interruption through live clustered node evacuations. Dan, the mic is yours.
So what's on tap next?
On tap next,
Live migration or storage migration?
Yes, like storage that? Migration. Storage migrations were nice in the past. There's a nice feature added in R2SP1, but it was another instance where it was not live. It was kind of, they call it quick live, quick storage migration, where most of the transition happened online, but there could be anywhere between a 1 minute or in some cases, depending on what's going on, a good 15 minutes of downtime while it's in a pause state transitioning that last piece of memory from the old host or from the old storage location to the new storage location. Storage migration is a way, great way to move between different LUNs, different SANs if you're upgrading. But the downtime portion really put another burden on that, pushed most of those changes to off hours and another administrative burden that's now relieved by now being live. So in a similar fashion, all these being live, it'll transition. I think the only slight downtime you see is I've only seen maybe one ping of a change as it's doing that last bit of memory, and a much better feature than in this round.
Right, and just for our so our audience understands what that means by missing a ping, built into the IP stack is error correction. So missing a ping is no more than standard TCP/IP noise, if you will, in terms of the way IP protocol works. So that packet will just be resent. It'll receive the packet. Boom, you're done. And so if users are RDP to the machine, through remote desktop, or if they're copying a file off the server, or they've got a file open on the server, or any of those things, no impact. You could go from one machine to another. And the example that I use a lot of time when I'm doing this in front of an audience is I'll have a machine that's physically on one server with direct attached storage, with the VMs on direct attached storage, and move it to another physical server with direct attached storage, and that move or that transition happens live without any downtime. So I'll ping the server while it's moving, no impact. And I can even ping the server while I'm in the server. So if I ping the server while I'm in the server to another server, like the firewall, I'll miss a ping. But other than that, it's just rock solid and very, very fast. The user never knows what's going on.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it. It really gets you. You don't have to coordinate quite as much with your application teams or with other opponents. It's just it can happen in the background just as live migration has matured. Live storage migration is now matured too.
Yeah, another thing that I want to highlight on this is it doesn't require shared storage. Because I know with live migration in the past, prior to Windows Server 2012, and this is really kind of across the board with all stacks, whether it be Microsoft or others in the virtualization space, is you really needed that shared storage. And being able to go from direct storage to direct storage, on different physical hosts, I think that is just so huge.
Yeah, it also opens up the whole movement of even SMB scenarios, moving from SMB location to SMB location. Now, we haven't talked about that much here, but the new SMB 3.0 is an option to move from any different location where your storage could be.
Yeah. So, can you show them how to turn on live migration to make that magic happen? And then
sure. So, as far as the settings we have for live migration, it's just simple going to the Hyper-V settings, and we'll look at the different live migration settings we have in here. Now, live migration itself, you have to enable it for one within Hyper-V Manager, and then you also have to tell it how many simultaneously live migrations you want to do. This is coming a little later in the presentation here, but this is pretty much a choice by the administrator of what they want to do. Now, things to take in mind will be what your bandwidth is and what your disk I/O could be on the other side. Those could be affected by the number of migrations you do at one time. Similarly, storage migrations of how many you want to be able to do at one time. Now, that's another great feature that used to be one at a time or very limited. You also have to look at where you're putting these storage migrations to, because obviously if you're writing a lot to a remote disk or the same disk, you could run into some I/O issues as well. But
Right. So you don't want to have this up at, you know, 50 if you've got a gigabit network and actually run 50 simultaneous storage migrations.
It will let you.
Exactly. It'll let you, but that's not that's not the best practice for sure.
Correct. So here, so as we do that, let's go to a storage migration here. I'll actually switch to this location. And we'll actually do a little storage migration here. It may take a little longer than we have for the demo, but we'll just, it's a simple wizard, moving the virtual machine storage. Give you an option whether you move them all to a single point, or if you're going to move the data to different points, could be configuration files or the HDX files to different locations. Or just want to move the virtual hard disk only. So we're going to try to move, I usually move all of them at the same time, just as the demo purposes. I've got 9.3 gig, and this is just going to go to local storage, and we're going to go over to F drive. We're going to create a folder out here called demo. Nope, does not exist. Let's go here again. Let's do it this way. Hold on. VMs. Select. There we go. And just gives you the format, and it's just gonna start to move here. And we'll actually look at that VM. The VM is here, happy and fine. Storage migration is happening. It's in the syncing mode.
So in this case, are you moving it to another server, or you're just moving it to another disk?
I'm just moving it to another disk local at this point. You know,
right.
Just as easy as moving it to a different server as moving it to a different disk, pointing to the other disk and moving it to that other location.
Yeah, a couple other things. I'm not sure if it was part of this discussion or maybe a future discussion, but the different ways that you can have different places that you can put your disk is pretty amazing now. Because I mean, you can have an iSCSI target, you can have a local file share, just an SMB file share.
Yep.
You can have direct attached on a VHD. You can have it on a SAN. You can have it on a NAS. As long as it supports SMB3, still be able to do all of this great stuff. And one case that really comes to mind as being a huge win is I think about all these people that need to go through a SAN upgrade process and the headache that used to be, maybe I had a 10 terabyte SAN and now I'm going to a 60 terabyte SAN. Getting those machines from that small SAN off to your new bigger SAN, that used to be just almost impossible, and you had to have downtime, right?
Yep,
and
definitely.
Now you can do those types of things with completely live.
Just as easy as adding another LUN to your server, whether it's standalone or a CSV in a cluster. And doing this live storage migration over and over and over again. You can script it out so it's through PowerShell and move them over automated. So it's definitely administrative win.
Yeah, my favorite thing to teach people to do is to write down all the things that have to be done, and before you start the migration, you tell your boss I'm going to be working all weekend, I'm going to be slaving all weekend on this. This is all the stuff that I've got to do. You set that whatever it is 10 line PowerShell script to go do it. You come back, you remote control in on Sunday just to make sure everything went well, and you're done, right?
Yeah.
Your boss thinks you worked all weekend, and you're actually chilling out at the beach or whatever. So it's awesome.
Good. So that's chugging away. It's a 9 gig moving across here, so I'm not sure when that'll finish for us.
Okay, so we'll just move on.
Yep, we can move on, come back.
We'll come back and just check the status whenever that's done.
Yep. The next thing in line is the standard live migration. Live migration's been around since 2008, ARC2SP1, and it continues on. It was one of the great adds to there, another administrative time saver, and it's in its base function no different, but it has a lot of new tentacles that it can do. As far as we talked a little bit with live storage migration, we have live migration with shared storage now, but a simple migration is just as easy as it was before, and we have even new functionality. So I'm not sure you want to go into a storage migration, or do you want to go into a multiple live migration? Where do you want to execute this?
We could do. I think when we showed the storage migration, that was really the only difference was the radio button. You'd choose a different radio button to do just a machine instead of the storage, right?
Yeah.
And when you do a machine, you can also do the storage at the same time. So I don't know that we really need to go through that again because it literally is the same exact steps.
Okay.
So maybe while this other migration is running, let's do another migration and kind of see how that goes, so they can see multiple migrations going at once.
Okay. Let's see. I'll just go back to here and we'll. Let's see. You can go with me. We'll just move. Let's go. And it goes through the same type of setup, and this is just as easy as the first time. It's just this is now saving you twice as much time as you had before. This is a small one, so it should go.
So in this case, you move pretty quick. I'm not sure I saw that.
Actually
moving the virtual machine and its storage.
Yeah, right? We can go through some of these steps if you want. Just take a peek over here what you can do. And
yeah, awesome.
You can either select all, or we can do current configuration going to this new location. One or all or parts, depending on how you want to split this up.
Sure.
It's very important. Very, very, very granular what you can do net these days instead of just one. This would just obviously be the hard disk, just a single selection.
Yep.
Depending on what you're
in. So in your case, you're going to do the whole machine, all the snapshots, all the hard disks, all that stuff, all in one shot.
Correct.
Got it.
So I'll pop it here. We'll get a location. Pop it into VMs. We'll call this demo 2. So next and finish. We'll start to see that move as well.
Okay, so we've got two running.
There we go.
Yep. And there's really, you're only limited on the number that you can run by, you know, really your infrastructure, right? Your network, your storage, performance, stuff like that. So
yep.
you're not you know, limited to just two here. So while these are running, maybe a couple other things I'd really like to kind of just throw out there. It wasn't really necessarily part of your presentation at VertG, but what I think are really cool features is the Hyper-V replica, which while the machine is live, it can create a replica and copy bits from one host to another. So you have, you know, almost a mirror, if you will, that's offline. It's not a hot copy. It is an offline copy, so that if you need to fail over to your other site or whatever, it's literally just right click and you know make it active. It fires up and it goes to the last point, and then you can set the schedule on how often you want those bits to copy over. The bits that are copying over are changed bits. It's not like it's doing it at a file level where it's going to copy all these big files all the time. So some really, really cool stuff with the Hyper-V replica.
Yeah, that question came up right at the end. Why did you include Hyper-V replica during the presentation? It's like, well, it could be a presentation by itself. It's a really cool feature. It is, it is an easy way for disaster recovery. It's free, it's built in, and it's it does what it did. It brings over one copy or multiple copies, depending on how often you want to take it or how many you want to keep on the other side. Mm-hmm. It's not automated, but it is a way to really get an offsite copy or just an alternate copy of these in case something happens to the host. And for certain even small businesses, if they didn't have the same hardware or couldn't afford the same hardware, it's a way to get your VMs off of your production side and onto a different location where it could mean the difference in your business.
So let's check our status on how these machines are going.
Yep, let's see. Oh, the first one has finished.
We just finished.
Look at that timing.
Just at the right time.
And so we have been live the whole time. Nothing has changed. And
not only live, but I mean logged into the machine. So
yeah. And now if we look at the location, we are now on that F drive we have there. Everything else has changed. You look at the other snapshot locations and the smart paging locations, those are all in our new location as well. So that by itself is just a time saver. We didn't have to coordinate with users at all. Didn't have to coordinate with anything. We're now moved over to our new location, our new SAN, whatever it was, and without any problems.
So I see you have a cluster set up here. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing with your cluster, how you've got that configured?
Well, this cluster here, this is a inside of VM, inside of here, just a little test VM cluster that's inside of inside of Hyper-V here that allows me to just do some file-based testing, file server testing, and other components. Just it's a cheap environment that allows us to do our demo environments, and it's a personal demo environment for two-node cluster.
Excellent. So another one of the really cool features that were added is being able to patch a cluster. I don't know if you've looked into that feature at all yet, but being able to bring you basically kick off, say, I want to patch my cluster, and Windows Server will go out and offload the workload off of the first node, bring that node offline, patch that node, bring it back online, put the workload back on it, and then move to the next. That used to be a very, very manual process.
It was, and live migration made patching much easier for cluster nodes, but it still was a manual process of clearing them, putting them in maintenance mode, or clearing them off manually to clear that node and then patch it and then bring it back up and rinse and repeat towards how many other cluster nodes or clusters you have out there. So, a great feature coming forward, and we're starting to use it here, is just to automate that a little bit. We actually connect it to a Windows Update server internally, and we approve the patches, and it comes through, and we'll update those nodes one at a time. And so far, so good. It's looking okay.
Awesome. And with the lower number of clusters that you used to be able to have, it was a pain even there. But now that you can have so many different nodes in a cluster, I can't imagine having clusters as big as you can get them now. But the more nodes you have, the more painful that was. And just taking all that pain away has just been incredible.
Yeah.
So I see that the other migration is also completed.
It is also completed.
Yeah. So can you maybe tell me some of the use cases? I mean, obviously large businesses and being able to do live migration and live add memory and live add disks and merging snapshots. A lot of that is kind of intuitive. By having these live capabilities that used to cost a lot of money because you used to have to have a lot of hardware, you used to have really expensive SANs, really expensive shared storage, and really expensive software, frankly, prior to Microsoft introducing it in 2008 R2 SP1, it used to be out of reach of small and medium-sized companies. And one of the big benefits that I've seen is, now even the small companies, and I really classify a small company as, maybe less than 10 hosts or 10 or less hosts, and then your medium-sized company is less than 100 hosts. Mm-hmm. That's huge. Being able to do all of this stuff, bringing this really expensive technology down to every business, I think is huge. Do you agree with that? And can you think of other places where this is going to be a big benefit?
Well, I do, especially with you've had just the traditional clusters that you could do CSVs and failovers in those scenarios. Even now with the live migration without shared storage, moving between two independent hosts, it could be a mom and pop shop that has two small servers and has the ability to move between them if there's something wrong with the ailing, one of them ailing. Or if you've brought in a new system, if you're a very small shop, you brought in a new system and you are looking to move to that new system. It's a hardware upgrade for all your VMs, and it's there's no downtime associated with that.
Yeah.
It's all of these live components chip away at the amount of admin time you have to do after hours. And for some shops that are 9 to 5, it's not a problem to come in after hours, but you're still coming in after hours. For a hospital location or a financial location, you've really got you're under the gun to keep stuff up and running, and you're affecting people, you're affecting money if anything comes down. So these do translate into dollars and time savings for both staff and for whatever's using the workload itself.
Awesome. So do we have anything else that you wanted to cover?
Yeah. So one of the big things we have before is in the previous versions of Hyper-V, there was no multiple live migrations. Multiple live migrations was one at a time you kind of peck away, and they would all kind of either evacuate a host one at a time, but now we can do multiple at once up to that number we saw earlier, and we could demo that quickly if you'd like here.
Okay.
So like I said, there was in the previous versions of Hyper-V, it was limited to one live migration at a time. Live migration was a great feature, but multiple live migrations is even a better feature because now you can, as you have our two-node cluster here, we can actually look at multiple at a time. We can actually select multiple time and say, move, and you can either say best possible host, and it would go through and move it to the other node or multiple nodes, spread them out, or we can do select the host, and I'm going to choose the other node here, and what we'll see is we'll see these start to live migrate over, and all happening at once. This is, we talked a little earlier about it being dependent on your network bandwidth, but these are all going to go over at once, and this is just going to tick through. This is on a 1 gig network. So we should see these tick through, and we're going to see them just disappear in a second.
So if you flip back over to the 05 machine, you'll be able to see those already created.
We'll see them actually. These are already created. These will start to pop over as they move over from live migration.
And they're all running. None of those servers went down. You could have been logged into them. Users could have been working with them
Here, we'll even demo that this time. So we'll show that this time. We'll show that the server is up and running at all times. We'll try to switch back here, so we can do multiple choices, and then we'll say move, live migration, and actually we'll just choose best possible this time because there's only one other option. We'll see those go into live migration here. We will see. We'll see this go.
Well, I notice that's incredibly fast too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing multiple machines in a matter of less than a minute.
Yep.
It's not moving the storage though; just moving the machines, right?
Correct. So the blip we saw was just the switching between nodes. If you look before, it was on 06, it was on 5. Right. The connection was smart enough to say, "You're still connected, but you just went over to the other node." So.
Right. Awesome.
So
you can move a couple of those back and show us an evacuation.
Yeah. So in the previous version.
Well, you can just evacuate from here, right?
To evacuate. So we can do evacuate from here. So this is we just move them one at a time. So in a kind of a maintenance mode, you want to get rid of them all. Instead of multi-selecting or doing it, you can actually choose what's called a pause or an evacuate. As you notice, we have 9 VMs here. If you remember right, my setting was at 8. So we'll see that it's going to abide by that setting here. If I choose pause, drain roles, it's going to go and it's going to try to live migrate as many as it was is told it was max at a time. It's a great way to evacuate a server. We see 8 that are live migrating and 1 that's in a queued state. And you'll see that as those other ones go through, you'll see that that last one will start to go as well. So great way to evacuate a host. If you're still doing the manual patching, this is a great way to do it. Another component to say is the failover cluster administrator within 2012 is very Hyper-V aware now. There was limitations in 2008 R2. A small business could really get by using this as one of their major as their management object for Hyper-V if they needed to. So see those tick through. They're actually going, and as that one cleared up, the last one started. Has gone through. And now they're all over here again.
Outstanding. Excellent job. Wow, this is incredible stuff, Rob. Much appreciate all your explanations, incredible explanations on some pretty cool technologies. So you deal with this technology all the time. You must have some things on your wish list for what you hope Microsoft will be bringing out soon.
Yeah, I think a lot of my components are there as far as the storage realm, as far as being able to change formats of the storage on the fly, or change between dynamic disks or fixed disk on the fly. Also being able to migrate between different versions of Hyper-V would make my life much, much easier. It's possible in an off state. It seems like there could be some way to make it a quick state to kind of move stuff over and then move VMs over and then have the newer integrations installed, maybe in a kind of offline mode and bring it up a little quicker.
Yeah, you'd think that'd actually be pretty easy because they already have the capability of doing it offline, and they have the capability of creating an AVHD anyway and, making all new changes in that new file. So you'd think that all they've got to do is, now stuff the other information into the new file, right?
Yeah, and I think a lot of these live components a lot of these live components could be added using those kind of technologies. I hope they're looking at this. Hope we'll have those in the future, but it's always something
I'll make sure the product group gets a hold of the video, so they'll get your suggestions. One of the things that I always do with this radio show is I put out my guru tip. So I think my guru tip on today's lesson is check out all the live features in Hyper-V from add memory, add remove disks, the live snapshot merging, storage migration, live migration, with and without shared storage, multiple live migrations, cluster node, live evacuations. I mean, and a lot of the things that we just barely touched on In terms of like the Hyper-V replica and lots of other features. So there's just a ton of stuff out there. And I think too many people don't really realize just how big and how powerful this thing has gotten with Hyper-V 3.0. So thank you very much. Any closing words you'd like to get out to the world?
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me here. It's I always like talking about Zip, and I think if you're even if you're working with a different hypervisor, I think you're worth going out there and looking at this just as a, if anything, it's a career opportunity at some point down the line.
Totally agree. All right, thank you very much, Rob. Appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you the next time.
Thanks again.